Thank you very much indeed for that message and song. And we know again the Lord will bless it to all of our hearts. We're going to read some verses from the New Testament tonight and from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we read from the verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, that brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Amen. God again will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we just bow together for a moment and ask for the Lord's help? Our gracious God and our eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the messages and song that have been brought to us and the message and the hymns that we were singing together. And we ask now as we turn to your precious word that again you will write its truth indelibly upon the tables of our heart. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the health and strength that finds us in your house. And our Father, as we gather here around your word, that you will come and open these hearts of ours that they might be receptive to thy truth, and that you'll perfect that which concerns each and every one. We thank thee tonight for each one who knows thee, whom to know is life eternal, and has the wonderful joy and assurance in their heart that Jesus indeed is their Savior. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us even tonight to grow in grace, and that the meetings might be a challenge and a blessing to our hearts. For any who may be here and as yet, they do not know the Savior. They know everything that they can know about him, but they don't know him personally as their Savior. We pray that you'll set your electing love upon such. Draw them irresistibly by your Holy Spirit, bringing them out of the darkness and bondage and tyranny of sin into the marvelous light and glorious liberty of the gospel of Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll give us to hear thy voice above every other voice, and that still small voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Give us a heart that is submissive and willing to obey thy truth. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to leave a thought with you based in particular upon the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 12. He says, "For this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And in particular, those words, "I know whom I have believed." Going to look very, very simply at the subject of saved or lost. And I wonder tonight, do you know that you're saved? Or is it that you're lost? I was reading the story of a businessman, a traveler, and he was on a journey and he seemed to lose his way. And he saw a lad kicking a ball by the side of the road, and he pulled up the car and put down the window and said to the young boy, he said, son, I seem to have got lost. Do you know how I can get to the next town? And the boy said, no. Then the man said to him again, do you know how far it is to the next town? And the boy said, no. And again the man looked at the lad, and then he said, do you know where this road will take me? And the boy said, no. Then the man looked at the boy and finally said, son, it seems to me that you don't know very much. The boy looked at the man and said, well, I know this. I'm not lost. And if we apply that spiritually, friend, do you know that you're not lost? Do you know that you're saved? Paul said, I know. And this was not a hope-so salvation. This was a know-so salvation. I know whom I have believed. There are many things in this world that we don't know. And there are many things that I probably will never know. But this one thing I do know, that I'm not lost, but that I am saved. And Fanny Crosby knew that deep in her heart when she wrote that glorious hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. The Apostle John knew it. He said, these things have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Horatius Bonner. He said in the early church, there was nothing of the uncertain day that seems to be in the heart of many professing Christians today. He said, they simply accepted that whosoever believeth in Jesus is born of God. We do not have to hope we are saved. The Bible tells us we can know we are saved. That is not presumptuous talk. For the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And after that great encounter that the Apostle Paul had with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, he could say with assurance in his heart, I know that I'm not lost. I know that I am saved. I know whom I have believed. Friend, do you know tonight you're not lost? Do you know that you're saved? The children often sing in their meeting, I know that I've been born again. Friend, do you know that? Very, very simply, I want to draw your thoughts to three things. First of all, there is a source of salvation. Paul says, I know whom. You see, our salvation is not depending on what we do or do not do. It depends on the whom. We have believed. That word believed, of course, simply means trusting in Christ. When the Philippian jailer, you remember, God turned his world upside down. and shook him to his very foundations, and he ran out trembling before the apostle, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" What did they say? "Believe." That's not a mere mental consent that Jesus really existed. Again, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." My friend, have you believed? You know everything there is to know about Christ. You're not going to hear anything probably new that you don't already know. You know about his birth. You know about his sinless life. You know about his atoning death. You know about his resurrection. You know about his ascension. You even believe that he's coming again. You know all the facts about Christ. But do you know Christ personally? Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Jesus himself said in John chapter 6 and the verse 47, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Salvation is not believing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many people believe about him. But salvation is believing on and in the Lord Jesus. That word believeth, or we could say, is to have faith, to trust in, to place your spiritual well-being to the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe. And let's not complicate the whole matter. Because, you know, often while we look at Catholicism and we almost scoff at it, there can be a lot of Catholicism in Protestants too, you know, where they feel they have to do something to merit their salvation. Edwin Rushworth was a notorious skeptic. He derided the Bible. He scoffed it and he scorned it. Until one day a Christian man challenged him to read the Bible. And so he consented that for 1 hour every day for 7 days, he'd read the Bible. And after the very first day, having read the Bible for an hour, he looked at his wife and he said, "If this book is right, you and I are wrong." And then the next day, after reading the Bible for some time, he looked at his wife and he said, "If this book is right, you and I are lost." And after reading for the next day an hour of God's Word, he looked at his wife and he said, "If this book is right, you and I need to be saved." Thank God, before the week was over, Rushworth and his wife were both gloriously saved through simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in efforts of our own, not in works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Friend, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're not lost? But then there is not only the source of salvation, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on and in him. And friend, if you can be saved any other way, then I have no hesitation in saying tonight that the greatest mistake in the entire history of the world was the day that they crucified a man called Jesus Christ. But there was no other way. For Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. You trusting only in Christ. But then there's the surety of salvation. You know, sometimes you hear people saying, well, he's made his peace with God. That's a big statement. Can I ask you, have you made your peace with God? When? Where? Have you peace about your past? Or does your past sin rise up like a mountain that would crush your soul to hell? And we can have peace about our past that is under the blood, that is in the sea of God's forgetfulness, taken from us as far as the east is from the west. God remembering it no more against us again forever. Thank God, my sins are gone. Have you peace about the present? That if this moment God called you into eternity, you know you're not lost. Have you peace about the future and where you will be? The Bible says, if a man die, shall he live again? And the Apostle John answers Job over in the book of Revelation and says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. In other words, they live again. In God's heaven or God's hell. Friend, do you know for certainty that you're not lost, but you're saved? Note those words that the Apostle Paul uses, I know. And there he is expressing the assurance of his salvation. And like the Apostle Paul, you and I also can know that we're saved and we're not lost. Salvation is something that we need to be sure about. You see, in this world, there are many things that you and I don't have to be sure about. But this one thing we must be absolutely sure about, that we are not lost, but that we are saved. Now let me say this. There are some very fine Christian people and I felt compelled to preach this message because of situations that just had arisen in my own ministry that I had to deal with. And there are those who have put their trust in Christ, yet they struggle. And I might say unnecessary. Terrible fears and doubts. And they came to that place in their life where they lacked assurance. And yet, by and on the authority of God's word, my friend, you don't have to doubt, you can know. But you know, sometimes when God's people even fall into bad health physically, the devil comes with his attacks spiritually to rob them of the wonderful assurance of their salvation. I'm thinking about the surety of salvation. There's, first of all, the problem of doubt. Why? Why doubt your salvation? The Bible says, believe and thou shalt be saved. Why then doubt? And of course, there are many ways the devil makes us doubt. I've had people come to me and say, look, I don't know whether I'm saved tonight or not, because I can't remember what I prayed. Did I pray a right prayer? Did I use the right words? And they feel that it depends entirely upon what they prayed. Our salvation does not depend upon our prayer. It depends on Christ. The Lord looks away beyond our words to the intent of our heart. Just because someone can't remember all they prayed doesn't mean they're not saved. They can't remember the day. They can't remember the date. You may not be able to remember the date. I'm fortunate that I remember the date. I remember the time of night. I remember going down to what is now the home ground of Dungan Swift's football team. And standing there, waiting for a football match to start, when God spoke to my heart and spoke so loudly to my heart that I thought this game is never going to start. And so I turned and I walked out and I walked up the road and headed for home. And I met a fellow who worked with me day by day. And he stopped and he said, are you all right? I said, of course I'm all right. Well, he says, you don't look it. And I wasn't all right, folks. I was sick with conviction of sin. And I remember going in home and going up to my bedside, getting down on my knees. I don't remember what I prayed. But I know this. I came down those stairs saved by God's grace. Oh, I'm fortunate enough that I can remember. It was about 8:15 that night. I remember the date. I remember the year. Just because someone can't remember that doesn't mean they're not saved. But most people will remember the place. Remember the place you were saved, your bedside. And there's many a side where people have been saved. Paul was saved at the side of the road. Lydia was saved at the side of the river. Many, like myself, are saved at the side of the bed. Many are saved at the side of a chair, at the side of a church pew. Friend, do you remember where? Now, you can't remember the date, you can't remember the time. It's unimportant, but it's likely we'll remember where. Where did it happen, friend? Did it happen? And you see, the devil comes, and because someone can't remember all the words they prayed, they can't remember the exact date, and so they wonder if they're saved. Then, of course, some doubt because of different experiences. Now, Saul or Paul's conversion was a mighty transaction.
riding down the road of Damascus with murder in his heart at the height of his godless career. Suddenly he's smitten to the side of the road. He sees a light from heaven. He hears a voice. The Philippian jailer. God sent an earthquake, turned his world upside down, shook the very foundations of the prison so much that the doors were opened, their chains fell off. And the devil comes to some Christians and says, but you never had an experience like that. You didn't see a light. Your world wasn't turned upside down. How could you be saved? And so they doubt.
But the Bible tells me of Lydia down by the riverside on a Sabbath afternoon, and the Lord opening her heart, and she's wonderfully saved. There's no great emotion. There's no turning the world upside down. There's no shaking of foundation. I want to tell you something. Lydia was as much saved as the Apostle Paul.
And maybe you're a Christian tonight, and the devil attacks you in the very matter of your assurance.
And God's people quickly forget that the devil's a liar. And instead of questioning what the devil says, they question what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul said, believe, and thou shalt be saved.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved.
Some of God's people, because of some failure in their life. Oh, I couldn't be saved if that happened.
Well, thank God for the great transaction that takes place in our life. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. But that doesn't mean that we're transported into a realm of sinless perfection.
God's people are not a perfect people. God's people are a forgiven people.
And the matter of your salvation doesn't depend on those things of which we've spoken. It depends upon the whom you have believed. Paul said, I know whom I have believed.
Friend, have you believed in Christ? Trusted Him and Him alone for salvation. You know, over in John, or 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says this. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And it's amazing how the devil can take scripture, you know.
And someone has fallen, and someone has slipped, and someone has sinned.
But he that is born of God, now.
But the tense of the word sinneth indicates a continual, habitual practice of sin. In other words, someone who habitually lives and stays in their sin.
He that is born of God doth not habitually continue in sin. Failure doesn't mean that we're not saved.
Whosoever believeth
shall not be condemned. Friend, have you believed in Christ? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know you're not lost? Do you know that you're saved?
Paul says, I know.
And you can know tonight. Because It depends on the whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and none other. There is, of course, the panacea for doubt. Paul says, I know, and that assurance is based upon the person of the Son of God. Paul wasn't trusting in any great words that he may have used on the Damascus Road. Not even on that dramatic happening, but on the person. Because you remember, when the Lord confronted him, he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus. And friends, salvation is in Christ. And in Christ alone. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So we can be sure. Let me just conclude with the security of salvation. My friend, you can put your trust in Jesus Christ tonight, and you can be safe, not only for time, but for all eternity. And isn't it a glorious thing to know that we're not lost? Isn't it a glorious thing to know that we're saved? Come life or come death, it is well with my soul. Our salvation is secure. We can not only say that we know that we are saved, but my friend, putting your trust in Christ and Christ only, you can know that you are eternally safe. Paul was not only expressing here his personal assurance of salvation, but also that he was persuaded that God was able to keep him. That word persuaded means simply convinced. I am convinced. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one responsible for saving. And if I can put it this way, he's the one responsible for keeping you saved. And so the Apostle Paul, he was not only assured that he was saved, but he was also assured that the Lord would keep him saved. And you can get out on the promise, and you can get under the blood, and you can trust Christ, and you can know beyond the shadow of all doubt that you're saved and not lost. The keeping of our salvation is not our work. And many people will say that, if I give my life to Christ tonight, what about tomorrow? What about my place of work? And all the rest of it. And the devil brings up every excuse to bar you from coming to Christ. And if he can't stop you coming from Christ, he's going to try to stop you knowing you're saved. But the keeping of your soul is the Lord's responsibility. You see, what happened on the Damascus Road that day was this. And you know, Paul was very clear about his conversion. He actually was in that privileged position where he knew the exact time, 12 o'clock. Paul was saved at 12 o'clock. Because at noonday, noon's 12 o'clock. And he knew how, because there was this light from heaven shining on his heart, the gospel of Christ, and he heard the voice of the Savior. And he knew where.
beside the Damascus Road.
But there are things that you may forget, but that doesn't mean that you're not saved if you put your trust in Christ. Because the Bible says this in John 10 and 28 and 29. Jesus is speaking, and he said, I give. And the Bible reminds us that the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is God's gift.
I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
You know, sometimes we're disappointed where some Christians go. But there's one place a Christian will never go, and that's to hell.
And of all that God the Father gave to his Son, he lost none. My friend, put your trust in Christ. You'll be saved, and you'll be saved. For Jesus said, I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man.
And the word man being in italics, not in the original text. Neither shall any, not even the devil, pluck them out of my hand.
In fact, if you put your trust in Christ as Savior, you will be doubly saved. Because he says, none shall pluck them out of my hand, and my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and none shall pluck them out of his hand.
How safe if you put your trust in Christ as Savior tonight. He's the only one who can save you, and he's the one who will keep you. Reading the story of a Christian woman, and with this we close. And with the passing of years, ill health set in. And her memory began to fail her. And she memorized much of the Bible throughout her Christian life. But with the nature of her sickness, she could remember now very little of it.
But the last verse to leave her memory was this text, I know whom I have believed.
And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. A minister went in to see her one day, and she could only quote part of the verse. That which I've committed unto him.
And on her deathbed, she could only remember and quote one word.
She'd forgotten the whole Bible, but one word, him. But she had the whole Bible in that one word. And friend, you can be saved if you just trust him. Would you trust him today? Go out of this meeting, sure you're saved and not lost. Be able to testify with Paul, I know. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Trust him. is good to his word. Let's bow together for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of many in this meeting that can say with the Apostle Paul, I know. I know that I'm not lost. I know that I am saved. May that be the testimony of all. Oh, open hearts. Give them faith to believe. Save them by your grace. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.